morning.
Maya Dunphy joining us live and in glorious Technicolor this Thursday morning.
Black.
Black with silver. What sort of leaves would they be?
Okay, you call it embellishment, I believe.
Yeah, it's quite grand, nice, looking, isn't it? Actually. I could see that in Paris.
Yeah,
funny enough.
I'm going to a funeral after this.
Yeah, well,
so
then
I thought I would dress smartly.
Well, it brings a little bit of diamante to the funeral.
I should be the Liza Minnelli of the church.
People will say, while I am sad, I'm also heartened that fashion lives on in our presence on the pews this morning. So the world is otherwise good.
Yeah,
I hope.
Here's a question. Did you watch Krakenori last night? Do you watch Krakenori?
I've never heard of it.
What? You would love it.
What is it?
Just
I know
this morning when, was it Lydia, who was a lady who came in and was vacuuming around you?
Lydia.
Oh, it made me laugh. That was brilliant.
She was a nice lady.
Krakenori is, you know, Jackenori.
Of course I do.
It's an adult version of Jack and Ori that Dave have done, where for over half an hour you get two different stories. A bit like, you know, Podge and Ronge did Scare at Bedtime. So it's a twist in the tale stories.
Yeah, I like that.
Read by a celebrity. And last night was Vic Reeves and Rick Mail.
Rick Mail, the late Rick Mail.
So they sit in the chair and they read a kind of acerbic, irreverent, cheeky story.
See, Rick Mail did at George's Marvelous Medicine on Jack and Ori when I was a kid.
Yes.
And it was mind-bogglingly brilliant.
Well, he did The Weatherman on Crack and Ori. It started last night. It runs for about 6 weeks. You should watch it. It's brilliant. But Vic Reeves' story was about a cleaning lady in... It was clearly a Mickey take of Richard Branson. His name was Robert Pickles and he was the richest man in the world.
God.
And he was trying to beat the Russians to get to Mars. And this well-meaning clean lady accidentally finds her way onto the space shuttle and all manner of accidents happens and she lets the reserve fuel go. And there's a twist in the tail at the very end, I won't give away.
I'll have to watch it this afternoon.
Yes, you should.
Or this evening.
You'd like it a lot.
That sounds great.
And Rick Mail's one was about a weatherman who can control the weather by his forecasts. And he gets quite angry with
That's
the lady
funny.
He's seeing. So he says, there's going to be really hot hail today. you should watch it. It's brilliant.
Who writes them? Do they write them themselves?
Different people write them. Different. I think that's great because sometimes well-known people who might read a story wouldn't necessarily write a story very well.
Yeah.
So there's brilliant lots of new writers as well. But it's great. I loved it. And then it's acted out by real actors as well.
Acted out by real actors as well.
Yeah, great. So it cuts from the storytelling to live action.
Do you remember a program?
Brilliant. I can't believe... Look it up.
I will. I'll definitely look it up. What's it called? Krakenori.
Krakenori.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Krakenori and person of interest.
Yeah,
I have to look at it.
Krakenori meets Tales of the Unexpected.
God, I'm sold. I'm totally on it. Do you remember a program that began with a cartoon Sig tune or thing, and it was a guy with a hat and he had boots like Puss in Boots, and he began, I'm the storyteller.
Oh, yes.
And my story must be told. And he has a little mandolin playing.
Strolling through like
in
a
London,
Piper.
I am John.
Yeah, what was
Paris,
that called?
I am Jean.
Was it called The Storyteller?
And then they went into and he turned into like an animal and he was on a tree and he'd be a fox and then they'd have
he
really
kind of gave me the creeps. I was quite young.
But he was
a little bit creepy.
He was a Pied Piper without the sinister element of it. And then he would tell, they would have really kind of hammy acting looking things that were probably made in Eastern Europe back pre-wall fall. And then they'd have
qualified that bit
better because they've overtaken us now, as you know. And then you'd have the narration was English. So it was obviously sold around the world.
Yeah.
And it was like one day the farmer went to the market and he wanted to sell a pig, but he sold his wife instead or something silly like that. And then the daughters, and it was all those sort of tales.
Yes.
But
is there a point?
There is.
Okay.
Do you remember it?
What's the point? Do I remember it?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
That's all I want to know.
Can we get a couple of rocking chairs and just play? Do you remember when?
Do you remember what I hate is, actually, you'll appreciate this
one. Oh, do you remember Mr. Ben?
And we know all that.
Oh.
We've done all that.
I'm taking the mick out of you.
Faux-stalgia.
Faux-stalgia?
Faux-stalgia.
What, when you pretend to remember
when
things?
When people say, do you remember? Yeah, when people, they say, do you remember? And you know they don't because they were too young. And they
but when you say faux-stalgia, you say you hate made-up words. So
I don't. I don't like going forward and journey and stuff like that, which are
okay,
you know,
fine. Then I
reimagining of words.
So faux-stalgia, when people, are they jumping on a bandwagon or has their memory tricked them?
No, they're jumping on a bandwagon. So, for example, do you remember there was a whole phase of I Love 1991 thing? Do you remember those programmes?
Yeah.
Do you remember? They would have Vernon Kay was always on them going, oh, I remember, Charlie's Angels the first time around. You don't.
You're reading it off another cue.
Somebody told you. You watched an episode and then you came back on and said, oh, do you remember the time when? Don't.
That's so true.
That's faux-stalgia. That's not real. So that drives me mad. Or people go, you hear, you know, oh, do you remember when Friends first came out? You don't. You physically
you
weren't
don't.
Born. I've
you
seen your birth
watched search. It second time round.
So why would you get a kick out of pretending you remember stuff?
Because there's also people don't like to say they discovered something after the fact. If you listen to the Killers album first, you go, oh no, why is it the Killers album in 1972 before they were even born? Yeah. People want to be the first people to discover things.
The Office
was a big one. I was abroad. I just finished college when The Office was on. And I came back and went, what's this all about? So I caught up with it. But yeah. I admit I caught up with it after the fact. But people go, no, don't say you discovered it. I'm like, I didn't discover it.
And I don't want to be in the pub saying, I remember or I discovered. When just be a bit
there
more.
Was a Q&A in the Light of Cinema with John Lloyd, who's the guy who created Blackadder and Nothing Like Black News and QI. Brilliant man. And a lot of geeks there kind of think, well, yes, I loved Blackadder from the beginning. And John said, yeah, the first season was rubbish. We made so many mistakes. We were learning. It was just crap. It's embarrassment.
God.
Yeah, well,
you just said, I believe.
I think the key here is to be honest.
I'm the storyteller. Yeah. And the story seldom told.
Did that guy look a bit like an animated version of you? That's how I remember him now.
Let's look him up.
Anyway, well...
I need to go on to YouTube.
We're talking about telly today, in a way. Excuse me. We're talking about reality TV and fame. Actually, that guy you went on who was the Instagram sensation.
I
drive you mad talking about my documentary that you don't quite believe I've made because they're still not on
Thanks
yet.
Thanks for the coffee. Do you watch his documentaries?
No, I've never seen one.
Yeah. That's so mean.
Thanks, Hulk. I was upstairs and we were talking about Grace very kindly said to me that she thought I looked a bit like Jennifer Connelly, which is very kind.
I told her. Here it is. It comes straight up. Sorry. You told her.
I told her a story about a guy in a pub said to me, excuse me, do you know who you look like?
Oh, here we go. I'm dying to hear.
Oh, who? Waiting to be flattered. And he went, Hugh Grant. I went, what?
Where would he get that?
I have no idea.
That's nonsense.
And then Grace made me feel better by saying that a guy in a pub said to her that she looked like Hulk Hogan.
Where would you get that?
It's just dreadful.
We need to get a picture of Hugh Grant and Hulk Hogan with Henry Kelly straight after this item.
I wouldn't, even if I looked like just a woman. A woman is fine, but bumbling, dithering...
Twit.
You know...
I found it.
Soft-eyed Hugh Grant. No. What does he look like, you?
Here he is.
Oh, there we are, sorry.
Oh, you have it there. Look, he does nothing like me. Because I thought he had blonde hair, too. He's got brown... Isn't that? We don't have any sound. We can't.
He looks like an animated version of someone from a Lynx ad in the 80s.
And he goes behind the tree and he's playing his guitar, and now a fox comes out. I'd love to be able to hear it, but we can't. I don't think we can
playing,
on this thing.
Is that a lyre or a lute?
It looks like one of those.
Everyone, what we're looking at is
if you YouTube, I'm the storyteller, and it just came up straight away.
It's actually much cuter than I remembered. I remembered
now
it being
black.
Slightly
now
sinister.
He's a black man.
Oh,
now he's a Russian.
No, he's a shapeshifter.
And now he's a Viking. That's brilliant.
You should put that on your Facebook page.
Oh, that's what
I
we'll do.
I don't remember.
Thank
that.
You.
What year is that from?
Oh, I remember watching it in the early 80s.
This is going to be faux nostalgia for me because I think I was too young.
But do you remember the song? You remember the song? Can we get the song up?
I do remember the song.
Yeah.
Anyway,
if Fergal comes in, we might be able to raise a channel and play it. Can we off this? No.
Oh, look at that fox. He's looking into my soul now.
He is actually.
I put up a picture of Hulk Hogan and Hugh Grant. I mean, don't do that. We are talking about, there was an article in one of the Sunday papers about reality show TV stars and how much money they've made. And I would have assumed, apart from the obvious ones like Kardashian type people.
Yeah.
Is it really worth taking the chance anymore? And so we're chatting about this, that it's kind of Orwellian, you know, George Orwell predicting that one day we would be dominated by constant scrutiny. But what he didn't predict is that we would throw ourselves in front of the cameras by choice, which is what we are all doing nowadays, still in our hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And again, getting back to my documentaries, they will be on in November, I swear. They finished, they're
you
good to go.
You won't even be here to see them.
I'll be back.
This is like you lobbing a grenade and leaving.
To Australia.
You might as well be. It's the Australia of our hearts.
I'll be back to plug them on this show if I may. Will you have me back?
Any time. This is an open door for you.
Oh, yeah, it's revolving though, isn't it?
No,
whoa, I'm back out in the street.
Well, that's by your own choice.
But one of them is about fame, and I am kind of intrigued by our ongoing obsession with fame and the fact that younger girls and boys will aspire to fame for fame's sake.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, what is encouraging this? I mean, is it the idea of money? Is it the idea of just being in the paper? Because the idea of being in the paper for no good reason doesn't really appeal to me at all. And I work in tele. I wouldn't want to be in the paper and I was asked over the summer to do It's Silly Season, the papers, to do various magazine spreads. I went, I've nothing to tell you. I don't have any, in the autumn I'll talk to you about what I I'm doing. But otherwise, I don't want to tell you what I've had for my dinner and where I get my hair cut. That doesn't really interest anyone else. Mm. But
what did you have last night?
What did I have? I made a Thai red curry.
And okay, that'll do us.
Yeah, from scratch. But for one.
I'm impressed. I know, for one. Hey, those days are shortly behind you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It'll be Thai red curry for two and three, maybe.
For three, yeah.
You know what I mean? So those, you know, start getting the shopping trolley is going
to
be
I just have to eat less. I always make enough for about two and then eat it all myself. It's kind of greedy. Mm. But anyway, fame for fame's sake.
Yes.
And obviously the X Factor is back. And people are getting more cynical about it. But they're still watching it and they're still entering it in their hundreds of thousands. Yeah. I think it's in the 11th series. There's been about, on average, 150 to 200,000 people a year applying. So that's well over a million people.
Massive.
Of the people who have won, I think six or seven have actually made decent money and lasting fame, which gives you about the same odds as winning a lot of money on a scratch card. Slightly less, slightly more than winning the lottery, but significantly less than being hit by a car. So you have far more chance of being hit by a car than you have of making a decent career out of going the X Factor. But yet people still do it. And not just the idealistic 14, 15-year-olds, but people who probably should know better.
Well, you can see that in X Factor. Yeah.
But anyway, this article had, I thought, negative press. It far outweighs the positive now, but obviously it doesn't because people still want to do it. So some of this list will surprise you. Top of the list is Kim Kardashian. Now, I still don't know what she does. She has amassed a fortune before she married stand-up people in wheelchairs, Kanye West. She had amassed a fortune of £39 million. These are sterling figures.
Do you know what she does? She is. That's
but
what she does.
But how does she make money?
Being Kim Kardashian.
You know, I remember having this chat with someone recently about Premiership footballers, and a friend of mine said, but how can you pay a footballer 50 grand? I said, well, that's down to Sky and advertising and merchandising.
Skill and ability.
Oh, yeah, but there was skill back in George Best's year. Really amazing skill, but they didn't earn 50 grand a week. But it's down to digital rights, and it's down to changing the strip four times a year and the stuff that people, the kids buy. I need to get the new Wayne Rooney socks.
Yeah.
But Kim Kardashian, and someone said, no, she has a clothing range and a makeup line. And I'll be honest, I've never watched the reality show. I can't bring myself to watch it.
But
maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm too dull.
Maybe you have different tastes. I think
I do. I can't bring myself to watch it.
People are absolutely fascinated by her and her family.
And obviously there is more money in celebrity couples. So when she married Mr. Kanye, that will probably double and treble. They're now worth far more. Actually, as part of the documentary I made, I spoke to a photographer about, because Irish fame can be a bit low rent. Let's be honest. Like, no one is making 39 million quid from being on any show in Ireland.
No.
But some of the, the launches and the events and the premieres, there are people who are worth more to photographers. I think Amy and Brian would be top of that list.
Without question. You're
somewhere on it. Wasn't you. That was someone else.
People are interested, but it is very low. It is low rent.
But I guess the question is, would you take a gamble? You only have one life. Would you take a gamble with your life on a reality show at the risk of it all going pear-shaped? Let's go to business. Number two is Paris Hilton, 36 million. Again, I don't know how she's still making money, but there's residual royalties, there's perfumes, there's probably sex tapes still being
probably
downloaded.
A couple hanging out there just in case.
I don't know, is there Paris Hilton underwear? Number three, Levi Roots. This guy I like. He's worth 30 million.
See the sauce guy?
The reggae sauce guy.
He was in
this
studio.
There's a few on this list who I kind of admire because that is worth taking a punt on. There were a few on this. The other one is, where is he and she? Number 19 is Thomasina Myers. I don't know who she is. Who is she? She won one of the first ever MasterChefs and ended up opening a chain of Mexican restaurants. So people who might have a brilliant idea. I mean, when you talk about reality TV, it's not always about going the X Factor, telling a sob story and making an absolute ass of yourself. There are other shows that people, armchair critics at home, will say, I'd never do that, but I'd love to go on the Bake Off, or I'd love to go on MasterChef, I'd love to go on Drag. I have this great idea for a home hair dye kit that I know will be amazing, or self-tying shoelaces, and you go, well, go and do it. But they don't. But they do sit there and think, I could give you a run for your money. And I did MasterChef, and it is a challenge. And, you know,
Why did you do it?
I just get post-traumatic stress when I think about it.
Why did you do it?
I Well, it's different because I did the Celebrity MasterChef and I was trying to raise my profile in advance of my series, and I thought it would do that with a bit of integrity. But I also thought this will be a challenge. I didn't know how big a challenge it would be, and I'd end up crying. But
why do people love the Great British Bake Off?
That's what I don't quite...
Why are people obsessed with it?
Get. I think because the Irish one is popular, but not as popular. And I think it's quite intrinsically English. Isn't it? The idea of high tea and baking and... I like it. I wouldn't be glued to it the way I love MasterChef. But there's a guy called Sean Palfrey, actually. He's number 21, worth 4.2 million.
Who's he?
Who is from Dragon's Den. And he bought the Tangle Teaser, which is a cross between a hairbrush and a comb. And they laughed him out of the studio, apparently. It's now worth 150 million quid or something.
And then there's One Direction.
The rest of them, yeah. Lily Susan
Lewis,
Boyle.
Smiling Class.
But Susan Boyle, worth 22
million.
Smiling
Class is worth 11 million.
But that is... What? See, a lot of them, they were catapulted to fame by the reality show. But then, Smiling Class, does she sing? Does she hell? No, she doesn't.
She presents.
She designs clothes now, apparently. Yeah. Is it Littlewoods? No. New Look? No. That's terrible. I don't know. She designs bikinis and low cost clothing.
She's a nice lady, actually. I met her once. Interviewed her once.
I met her once briefly. She was very smiley and very
beautiful.
Charming.
Tell you who's also very beautiful is number 25, and Alexander Burke, gorgeous looking woman.
Yeah.
She was friendly.
Yeah. Who's the other?
Who's
Jane
McDonald?
She did win X Factor.
Yeah.
Susan Boyle, number 4, did not win Britain's Got Talent. Came about third.
She's number 4.
Who came first that year? Was it Diversity? I'm not quite sure. Cheryl, with her new surname, 16 million. Obviously, her money's been made since pop stars. Kelly Clarkson, American Idol winner, 16 million. Jennifer Hudson has had an extraordinarily difficult life. Quite like her. I think she came from American X Factor, 15 million. One Direction, Leona Lewis. So boring, like watching paint dry, but worth 13 million.
Yeah.
Will Young and his massive chin.
You better
10 million.
Leave right now. Is that him?
I just can't stand his voice. Sounds like he's got a big chin.
You know what? It's a bit like. Nice to meet you, to meet you, nurse. Yeah. Nice to see you.
I know that's mean.
But there is a bit of that.
Yeah, you can hear. Like everyone can hear now that I've got an underbite.
You look like Keira Knightley there for a second.
Keira Knightley, hers is the pout thing, and when she tries to pout. Sucking her cheeks in, she gives herself a larger chin.
But then when she smiles, she looks like a
totally
totally different person. The Tangle Teaser is a lifesaver. If you've ever tried to brush a small girl's hair, it's text.
A random small girl's hair? You can't do that.
No, but if the COVID. Small girl is your own and you own it.
Yes, I have one.
If
you don't own people, Ryan.
Oh, you do?
You really look
I tell my girls
generation.
All the time, I own you.
Until
I would tell you. And then you can own someone else, but until then.
I love that lady texting about Lydia saying, I hope she's getting paid a euro. She pays her son a euro.
She pays her son.
Vacuuming.
Yeah. So problem
cute.
Is, Lydia may well be getting paid a euro. No, she's not, of course. She's very well paid, and she's paid at least minimum wage, and whatever happens after that is her own business.
Nicole Richie.
Yeah,
9 million.
Every time somebody mentions Nicole Richie, somebody says she's very skinny. She doesn't eat anything.
I wasn't going to say that, but
all
she
girls
is very
do.
Skinny.
All girls love saying about other girls. You're very skinny.
She is too skinny. She has publicly.
Or isn't it picking you?
She has spoken out about her issues with food, so she does have.
Well, in that case, we'll keep going. I'm not familiar
with
that.
But her dad is Lionel Richie. What's not to love about that?
All night long.
All night long dancing on the ceiling.
Money in class. Let's keep going there. JLS. Yeah.
Craig Phillips is a surprising one. 6.9 million. He was the first winner of Big Brother, and he gave.
Craig, he was a little scouser, was he?
He looked like a phone box. Yeah. He was like well built scouse lad.
Where's he getting that laptop from?
I had to look it up. I had no idea. He quite altruistically gave away his. I think the winnings were 70 grand at the time, and he gave them to a friend or a cousin who was suffering from Down syndrome who needed a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Who I think sadly subsequently passed away, but he gave away all the money, and I think that stood to him, and he got a TV show. I think he has a range of DIY tools.
But he's worth £7 million.
He's worth £7 million. Well, so he's doing something right. Gareth Gates, surprised about that one. I don't know what he's doing.
Wow. I think he's doing West End, I thought.
But is there £6.7 million in the West End?
I'm very surprised.
I have no idea. Paul Potts.
Disastrous run in Cambodia.
Not the dictator. I always thought his first album should be called The Singing Fields.
Don't. Too much that.
6.2 million he's worth. The only Irish person on the list, Nadine Coyle at number 18. Worth Naz. 6.1 million. Same Naz. As Sarah Harding.
Sorry? Remember she's telling? I'm going to play a gig in Naz.
What? In Naz?
Nice.
No, did she?
Miss Pro.
Listen, we've all done
that. We've all done it.
But 6.1 million. Now, I don't know if these people still have all this money or if it's what they're worth on paper.
Either way, we're all jealous.
Little Nix, Abby Clancy, Alexander Burke, and the last on the list, 25, is Jane McDonald. Do you know who she is? 3.6
singer?
Million. I thought she was a
cruise ship
on
singer.
Women. Yes, but I didn't know where she'd come from.
Cruise ship singer who sang some awful songs, and then everyone went, "Oh, she's a nation sweetheart," because she wasn't that pretty, and then she made a fortune.
Well, I think I was abroad at the time. I think it was the late 90s, one of the first reality shows called The Cruise.
Oh.
And she, yeah, it was a not reality show. Sorry, it was a docu-soap.
Oh, okay. Like, remember they did that with hotels and airports for ages. Yeah,
that was in the 90s. So apparently that's where she came from. But of the we prefer the kind of also-rans and the less successful stores. Everyone keeps hearing about poor old Steve Brookstein.
Yeah, we interviewed him first. Here, yeah.
He's quite an angry man. And I do understand why, because...
He's not on the list.
He's not. Well, I think he is still. He's back on cruise ships with people going, "Hey, is that you?" I think if it was me, I would do... Was one of the chaps from Six who went back to college and did finance. I'm not sure which one it was. And is now working happily in finance going, "Yeah, you know what, I'm... done." And I actually, in my documentary, I meet a few people who did dip their toe into the murky waters of reality TV and have moved on to other things. And it's quite interesting because a lot of them, most of them are now well-balanced people. And I think if you step away from it, if you don't make 6.7 million, there comes a point you have to say, "I need my plan B."
And I need
what
it
was
now.
My plan B?
Okay, that's where we'll leave it on the subject of top 10 reality stars.
It's top 25, actually. But, you know, did you just pass out for 15 of them?
We have to pay her.
Thanks.
We have to pay her double now.
My
story, tell them. You need Ross Kemp, Louis Theroux, and Vice TV in your life. Everything else is actually not reality TV. The Kardashians and the Geordies wake up with perfect hair and makeup.
Watch any of those. But also, do you think for one second that Ross Kemp is genuinely living in a tent on the outskirts of Baghdad? No. He's in a Premier Inn somewhere near the airport.
Premier Inn. And Maya, we'll see
with
you next week.
Prescription sunglasses.
We'll
come
see you
on.
The week. don't sunglasses, I don't really like them.
What?
When I see them on fellas particularly.
What?
You know the wraparound shades?
No one wears those anymore.
Yeah, all the time. They drive me mad. I just think they're just awful.
Yeah, I won't say what I really think of those because it's probably not...
Well, tell me what we're just playing this app.